Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 8 of Hands Up, the education podcast that takes a light-hearted look at all the quirks that make being a teacher, an educator, or just part of a school a truly unique experience. My name's Jordan Firth, I am a Year 1 teacher and I'm joined remotely once again by fellow teacher, co-host and co-creator, Mark Tomlinson.
Hi Jordan.
In this episode, Mark will be looking at Waterloo Road, kind of, in his famous fictional school. I'll count down the things you hear in every Zoom meeting, and for our teacher talking point, we're talking about jobs that you had before you got into the wild world of education, and how those jobs set you up to handle everything that it throws at you. It's great to have you with us, so sit down, cross your legs, or make sure your chair's tucked in, four legs, Mark, and let's get started. So, at time of recording, we're in lockdown, have been for a while, will be for at least another 3 weeks. You've mentioned previously, Mark, that you've completed Netflix. I, this week, managed to solve a Rubik's Cube, so I think that's a pretty decent indication of the direction that my boredom is taking. But we still need to communicate with our teams and colleagues during lockdown, don't we? And so, we've had to adapt, and one particular way which is really taken off recently is the Zoom meeting. Now, you've been involved in a Zoom meeting with me, haven't you, Mark, when we recorded the Unprofessional Development podcast with our friends from the US of A. And I'm going to be honest, I've taken quite a lot of inspiration from that, but it's not a top five format as I normally do it, really, in terms of I'll say something and then talk about it. What I've done is made a quick cut of recordings of phrases that you hear in every Zoom meeting. You could, for the listeners, you could even write these down and make a bingo sheet for next time you have one. So let's hear it. The things you hear in every Zoom meeting. Hi everyone. Hello? Hello? Are you right? Can you just email that to everyone? Hi, who just joined? Hi, is that? Can you hear me? Is Mark on the call? No. Yeah, it's. Hang on, it's still loading. Yeah. So as I was saying, we just need to make sure that we. I'm just on a. Yeah. No. I'm just on a Zoom call. Is that right? Can you just stop? Oh no. Sorry. I was on mute. Oh, hey guys. Sorry, I'm late. I'm sorry, you cut out there. All right, can everyone go on mute? Should we take this one offline? Yeah, no, I'll have to get back to you. Can everyone see my screen? Yeah, no, sorry, I'm just having a few connection issues. Right, sorry, I didn't catch that. Can you just repeat? Yeah, no, if you just repeat that again. No, I did. Just say that one more time. Yeah, well, I thought that. No, it's all right. You go on. It's fine. Yeah, well, I was just going to say it. No, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Well, the point was. No, yes, no, sorry. No, yeah, carry on. Now, I'm really looking forward to our teacher talking point this week, and I love it when I post a tweet and loads of people respond, and this was one of those occasions. So, I tweeted the following. I said, "Hey, EduTwitter, what did you do before teaching? And how could that benefit you in the classroom?" I gave a couple of examples. So I said, if you're a farmer, herding 120 sheep is basically getting your class into assembly. Or were you an actor? Best nativities ever, surely. Or if you were a hostage negotiator, then you must be pretty good at dealing with parents. And we had loads and loads of responses. And I can't possibly read them all out. But here's a few that I've picked out. So at Teacher Glitter said that she was a silver service waitress, juggling everything and still serving a three-course meal with a smile, which I think is a pretty perfect metaphor for teaching there. at Luke C. Hale said, I was a DJ, great at using other people's work to make me look good. Cheers, Twinkle. At Mr. _ Bash says he was a performer. Teaching involves more performing than when I was on stage. I always kind of say that Mr. Firth is like my alter ego that I have to just switch on whenever I need to. I'm like Lorraine Kelly. I'm not a particularly Well, as you know, Mark, I'm a bit of an introvert, so I'm not a particularly,
Yes.
you know, out there person. So I
No.
kind of have to switch on a little bit and, you know, fake it till you make it a little bit. So I do kind of see myself as being Mr. Firth, not Jordan,
yes.
in the classroom.
Yeah.
At Janine Hayes 2 says she was a hairdresser. Communication skills and the skill to read people. Now, you can see me, Mark. I can see you. When I hear that anyone has any experience in hairdressing at the moment,
oh, yeah.
I can't help but feel anything but just jealousy.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm married into the wrong profession, really, the way my hair's looking at the minute after 4 weeks of lockdown.
I'm looking like Billy Ray Cyrus at the moment.
At my mama C says lifeguard, and then she says say no more. A couple of lifeguards actually. So at Mrs_MM21 said she was a lifeguard. She said great at keeping my head above water while paddling madly underneath the surface, which is another
nice.
Good one. Freya says she was a swimming teacher and lifeguard since she was 16. She says, I guess teaching children in water gives you good behaviour management because it's so important that they use those little things attached to their heads to stop them from drowning. which I suppose that's quite a good way to learn behaviour management, isn't it? Because if they can't listen to you, then they might quite literally die. So I suppose the stakes are high there.
Yeah.
Maybe during people's PGCEs and training years, you could get them to... have a lecture or a seminar and just have a handful of children in a pool and basically just keep them alive. And if you can do that, then you can handle anything the classroom has to throw at you. It's like on dodgeball when you're throwing wrenches at them. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Those three teachers will be fully prepared for when Ofsted come to do a deep dive.
Very good. I like this one. At Teach and Mean It says she was a forensic psychologist looking at the psychological aspects of criminal activities. So who broke the rulers, who ate the glues, who stole the blue tack, all that sort of stuff. Like, yeah, CSI primary.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Do you reckon her questioning then will be quite, you know, part of her A game, her questioning?
Yeah, maybe in the lesson observation feedback, she'd be like, well, it was a bit more of a interrogation than a challenge for the children. Sort of following along that theme, Jeff Biddle says he used to be in the police, so used to crowd control, being shouted at by lots of people at once and dealing with emergencies such as, you know, paper cuts and theft of stationery. He's good at that now.
I wonder if Jeff knows. My dad, when I was little, my dad would always threaten me and my friends with the legendary PC copper.
Right.
So if we looked like we were about to cause some trouble, he would come out of the house and say, if you don't stop climbing up that lamppost, I'm going to call PC copper. And for a long time, I believed that there was such a police officer as PC copper.
I was going to say, did it work?
Yeah, it did for me. I shot down that lamppost.
Nick Wood says he was a banker, ideal for getting a thick skin when kids use cruel rhyming name-calling tactics.
Just in regards to that, we missed a trick there, didn't we, last week when we were on the Unprofessional Development podcast. We should have used the rhyming slang, Jeremy Hunt.
I think...
shouldn't we?
Yeah, I think anything other than that word would have been fine. If there's a list of words to not say on a podcast where you're, you know, not that familiar, we've never spoken to the hosts in real life, a totally different country. If someone was sort of doing a bit of a little sheet on words not to say, I think that'd be quite high up on the list.
Yeah, I think so. So Mr. N Wood's kind of banker, previous job banker, that's come a couple of weeks too late for us.
Yeah,
hasn't it? If we'd have known that, we could have said that on the podcast when we were Oh, and then he called me a Jeremy Hunt.
At Miss Yates says, that is actually her Twitter handle. So it's at Miss Yates says, I worked in a bar, drunk people in Wigan equals Key Stage 1 classroom. Which I think is a bit offensive to Key Stage 1 classrooms, if I'm honest. At Mrs. _ Bentos says she was a script editor and writer for TV dramas, working for certain producers and with certain writers, actors and directors means I'm well prepared for dealing with children. Can also knock up a mean school production and comes in handy for supporting writing. Now, I love stuff like this. I love the fact that she said with certain actors. I wonder what sort of actors she's referring to when she says they working with them came in handy for being prepared to dealing with children. Tom Cruise, maybe, for his height.
Yeah, Tom Cruise, yeah. Always hiding in the closet. Maybe don't put that on the podcast.
Why not? Well, the Church of Scientology will come down.
Scientology come knocking on my door. I reckon Tom Hardy's a little foot stamper.
You reckon?
When he doesn't get his own way.
I mean, careful, because it was sort of doing the rounds recently that he's doing the next set of CBeebies bedtime stories, and the mums on Facebook were going wild for that news. It was getting shared left, right and centre. So, you know, we need to sort of bear in mind our demographic. In fact, if for anyone that's never seen us, if you just want to imagine that we're basically two Tom Hardys, but with, I mean, I've got to have a less sexy voice than Tom Hardy. If that's what you want to picture, just to help you get through the podcast, then go for it.
For older listeners, I look more like Oliver Hardy.
Oh, I nearly used my bell for the reference then, but it's fine. I know Oliver Hardy is. At primary, DHT _mum says, jockey, the ability to stay calm in the face of danger and confidence / optimism when hurtling 40 miles an hour towards a jump you've no idea if you can get over. Do you think that she was actually a jockey, or do you think she just kind of just wanted to get that little reference in there?
Well, interesting. What I want to know is, are all the children bigger than her? Because jockeys are small, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
So, you know, are all the children, do they tower above her?
That's another. So at Mrs. _Bentos, get in touch which actors are like dealing with children. And then, primary DHT and mum, let us know.
Yeah.
Were you actually a jockey? And how tall are you? Yeah. At John Irvine says that... Now, this is incredible. What I've learned from reading a lot of these is I feel like I've had a very boring life. Some really interesting careers. And this one is... John Irvine says that he was a grave digger before his first stint at teaching. He said, gave me the opportunity to make up some interesting real-life maths examples and tell deadbeat jokes. And he says he's got some fab stories to tell. What I'm interested in is, gave me opportunity to make up some interesting real-life maths examples. Now, what sort of maths questions are you going to get out of... What sort of morbid SATs questions are you going to get out of that?
Would it something to do with measurement, I imagine?
When Sally was alive, she had four limbs. She was buried with just two limbs. How many limbs did she lose in her during the accident?
Wouldn't it be something like Fatty had to have a coffin that was 8 feet by 6 feet. How big does the grave need to be to fit Fatty's coffin?
Again, yeah, I feel like a lot of these need extra context that maybe you can't just fit in one tweet. So, John, get in touch. Give us an example of one of your maths questions that those poor children
Want to know as well, did John work with Rod Stewart, the singer? Because Rod Stewart famously was a grave digger, wasn't he, before he became a pop star?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is this the
leading up to a joke?
Yeah, I feel like it's a punchline.
No, it's true, that.
Okay, well, it's there you go. Don't say you don't learn anything on this podcast. At Vicky Bruff says that she was a sales manager, great at selling new initiatives to staff, even when they're just rebranded old ideas. Ali Bolton says they were cabin crew. They know exactly where all the emergency exits are. And then in response to that, at Nunabel 76 said that she was cabin crew too, and she treats each lesson as she would a flight. So it has a takeoff, cruising and a landing. A clear destination, unpredictable passengers and unpredictable situations. So very similar. I remember reading a book when I was training called Getting the Buggers to Behave by Sue Cowley. Great book. And she used a like an airline phrase about it, about teaching. You know, when they say on the flight, put your own oxygen mask on first before helping others.
Yeah.
And just take that as teaching advice. You got to look after yourself before you can run a classroom. At Loving to Teach says they worked in the complaints department for an insurance company, so trained well to deal with parents.
But they were busy.
Customer service in general is great for parents' evenings, isn't it, I think. At Louise B028 says she was a bookseller, and I love this example here of a question someone's asked her. I'm looking for a book. I can't remember the author or title, but it's got a blue cover, or maybe green. She said this sort of problem solving and patience. At Simon ATK says that he was a vicar, so great at engaging assemblies, and he does put in brackets, other boring clergy are available. And at Janine Hayes too responded and said that her godfather was a vicar before he went into teaching, and he had a beautiful aura about him, and the kids hung off every word. I feel like all good vicars have a pretty good vicar voice, don't they? You know, the one that I'm thinking of, our previous vicar now used to come in, and she could really project her voice, couldn't she, around the room, almost as if she had a mic on. But I feel like when I listened to her speak, you could tell you were listening to a vicar. Do you know what I mean? She just had that vicar voice about her. It's quite a skill.
Like, what I find interesting about that particular one is they were a vicar and then they became a teacher. So what happens in their career as a vicar to make them think, I don't want to be a vicar anymore? Do you think they kind of fall out of love with the faith or with God? Or it's a serious question.
It's quite interesting, isn't it? Because you assume that maybe the people go into that for life, don't they?
They commit to it. As if you hear a lot of people talking, people who, you know, who like vicars or talk about having a calling, don't they? From the big man. And I just wonder whether, you know, it's at some point they just thought, I'm not enjoying this anymore, or be interesting.
You could almost assume the opposite, couldn't you? That people get into teaching and then lose their faith in everything.
Yeah.
Kate Mullen said, actually just one word, no sort of, doesn't elaborate on it or anything. She just says, hypnotherapist.
Crikey.
I know. At Right Teacher 71 says that she was a scuba diving assistant. Great for when you feel out of your depth. Let's take a look then at this episode's famous fictional school. Now, Mark, I'm a little worried. Because when I texted you earlier to ask which school you were doing, you said Waterloo Road. Kind of, which, I'm not going to lie, that worries me a little. Now, it gave me a flashback to an episode of the podcast called Love Is, where we had the lovely Kate Knight on the podcast at Missing Musician. And during during your review, in inverted commas, of the show Teachers, you went a little off tangent, shall we say.
Off piece.
And me and Kate, yes, that's the one. Off on a tangent, off piece. And me and Kate were watching you deliver this review, basically through our fingers, because of what you were saying. Now, if you've not heard that episode, Do go back and listen to Love Is. I won't say any more about that. But now, what I have heard, Mark, from a couple of people recently, and I've maybe seen it on Twitter, and I think the Unprofessional Development guys mentioned it as well, is a couple of people have mentioned recently that they enjoyed your insane rant, I was going to call it. So I'm worried that, I'm a little bit worried that that's got to your head, and this is going to take a similar tone. So please, I can't stress that word enough, please, tell me that my worry is misplaced as you introduce your famous fictional school for this week.
Can you see that I've got my fingers crossed under the desk?
No.
John, of course, you don't have got nothing to worry about. This week I'm going to be looking at Waterloo Road, or in other words, my relationship with the girl who broke my heart at high school. No, I'm kidding. I am going to look at Waterloo Road. This is the first fictional school that I've looked at where it's been requested.
Yes, yeah, I did see that tweet. Yeah.
Now, the request was like a DJ. I was like a DJ at a wedding party, and somebody came up and says, "Have you got any Nirvana?" but instead said, "Have you got any, would you do Waterloo Road?"
Are you the person that goes up to a wedding DJ and asks for Nirvana? Who does that? Are you that sort of person?
Have you got any Suede? It's a nod to Steve Coogan's Paul Carf, John. Oh, you've not seen Steve Coogan's Paul Carf? That's something you need to find.
Would I enjoy that?
Oh, you would love it. You would love it, yeah, because you like Steve Coogan, don't you?
I do, very much so.
Yeah. So find his Paul Carf. It's amazing. His Paul Carf video diaries are brilliant. Right, Waterloo Road, a British television drama series set in a comprehensive school in Rochdale. And unlike Channel 4's Teachers, it moves between and sometimes intertwines the various academic levels, pupils, teachers, parents and local authority. The school has had its ups and downs over the years and is constantly under threat of closure due to falling pupil numbers and bad behaviour. During the 10 or so series, Waterloo Road went from being a comprehensive to an independent school following a merger with a nearby private school, and was then closed for failing to meet standards before reopening in Scotland, where it became a comprehensive again. Storylines have been incredibly varied and include unwanted pregnancies, serious illnesses and death, love trysts amongst staff, romance amongst pupils, drugs, teachers' previous careers as prostitutes. Nobody mentioned that in our Twitter discussion, did they, Jordan?
No.
And people smuggling. So there's no arguing that no 2 days are the same at Waterloo Road. In one eventful academic year, we are introduced to the Kelly family. That one family evident in most schools across the UK, who put the fear of God into all teachers when they find out their class for the following year will include an infamous Kelly child. Ooh, have you got Denzel Kelly next year? Make sure you've got everything glued down in your class, or he'll nick it, or even try and throw it at you. You think he's bad? I've got his sister Sambuca. She's a raging psychopath. She likes to chew Lego and will only communicate with me by making owl noises. Wait until the youngest, Prince Kelly, starts school. When I went on a home visit recently, he was sat in his high chair rolling a spliff, though I guess it does mean he won't require any fine motor interventions when he does get to school. Throughout its tenure, there's no denying that Waterloo Road covered nearly every base when it comes to life inside an educational establishment. And I'm sure there are many teachers out there who could share their own experiences of dealing with problem families, teenage pregnancies, the misuse of drugs and alcohol, inappropriate sexual relationships, working in a failing school, and former pupils knocking down part of the school with a JCB. But for one irate viewer, it was all too much. Now, as you well know, John, I like to do a little bit of research when I'm looking into my fictional schools. And part of my research is looking at fan sites and comments on fan sites. Anyway,
There's a Waterloo Road fan site.
Yeah, there's a Waterloo Road fan site. Word. And one such comment. Now, this guy goes by the name of @analbeads. Now, I think he has misspelt his name. I think he's called Alan Beans, yeah, but he's misspelt it. In his anger to get down his kind of why he's mad and angry about Waterloo Road, instead of typing Alan Beans, he's wrote Anal Beats.
So let's give him the benefit of the doubt, shall we?
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt and I'll continue to call him Anal Beats. So the irate viewer Anal Bead on this particular fan website vents fury on season 7 of Waterloo Road by complaining about the unrealistic storylines and how that one day in a real school would not feature a teenage pregnancy, a shooting, two teachers snogging in a broom cupboard, the head teacher scoring some clarky cat from the sixth form drug dealer, and an incident with a pigeon. What Anal Beads fails to take into consideration, however, is that this is a TV drama based in a school, and therefore the writers and producers of the show are using dramatic license to keep people watching. I mean, come on, can you imagine if soap operas such as EastEnders and Coronation Street just dramatised the daily shenanigans of the average person? It would be boring, and people would turn off their television sets and go out and do something less boring instead. Anyhow, to appease the angry at Anal Beads, I have had a go at writing a short synopsis for each episode of season 7 of Waterloo Road to see if a more realistic approach to an average day at a UK comprehensive school would make it more palatable for him or her. Unfortunately, Jordan, as the Hands Up podcast budget is minimal, I've been unable to book an actor to play the role of a BBC continuity announcer. And therefore, I will have to put on my best Reithian accent, which is a bit difficult from a boy from the for a boy from the north, for this next bit. So, are you ready, Jordan?
As I'll ever
imagine
be.
You sat in front of your TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And now on BBC One, it's the start of a brand new term at Waterloo Road. And in tonight's episode, the teachers return after their summer holiday. And the whole episode features teachers having the following conversation. Good holiday. Yeah, really good. Went by so quickly, though. Yeah. Good to be back, though. Yeah. Coming up next on BBC One, it's Waterloo Road. And this week, the new head of English, Linda Radley, meets up with the rest of the English teachers to discuss the year ahead. She's brought a load of treats from B&M Bargains, as she knows it could be a long meeting. Keep it locked onto BBC One as we're heading back to school. And there's drama at Waterloo Road when in class Y73, a bee flies through the window.
I would watch that episode.
At 9pm on BBC One, we have an exclusive interview with Britain's youngest butcher. But first, we're heading to Waterloo Road, where head teacher Mr. Byrne is delighted with how the school responds to the fire practice. Though a couple of Year 9 boys get told off for d***ing about. Hope you finish your homework, as up next on BBC One, we're off to Waterloo Road, where the teaching staff are left devastated to find out there's only rich tea in the biscuit jar. Stop talking at the back. It's time for Waterloo Road, and new pupil Jodie Scout Allen joins the school. She is normal. Next on BBC One, it's Waterloo Road, and it's a race against time in tonight's episode as maths teacher Mr. Chalk attempts to get his working wall finished before head teacher Mr. Byrne carries out a display walk. And Number Wang with Priti Patel will return for a new series in the autumn. Don't turn that dial, as there's excitement in the air at Waterloo Road as it's Mr. Clarkson's birthday, and he has brought in 3 punnets of mini bites from Sainsbury's. Tuck your shirt in, boy. Straighten your tie. It's time for Waterloo Road. Following on from last week's episode, Mr. Mead is in a mood, as he didn't get a mini flapjack, and there was still only rich tea biscuits in the biscuit barrel. And now on BBC One, it's time for the explosive end-of-term finale at Waterloo Road, where school go off timetable and watch a Harry Potter movie and play board games, while the leadership team treat the staff by bringing in 5 punnets of mini bikes from Sainsbury's. As the end credits roll, the announcer says, "Sadly, this was the last we'll see of the staff and pupils at Waterloo Road, as the BBC has decided not to commission another series as nobody is watching it. Apart from at Anal Beads, that is, sitting on his sofa dunking rich tea biscuits into his weak tea." He turns off his TV and rather than write an arsy letter to the BBC for not recommissioning Waterloo Road, he takes to TikTok to record a short video of impressions of his favourite characters from the show. Like most things on TikTok, they are rubbish.
Now, be careful there, Mark, because many of our the people that listen to Hands Up are on Twitter. I think that's where the majority of our listener base comes from. And that's a bit of a trend at the minute, isn't it? TikToking. Yeah, so it's a bit of a thing going around where you can mime over the top of like famous, like you say, TV or movie quotes, and people are trying to kind of relate it back to the classroom. Do you know what I mean? So
it's teaching.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a bit of a trend. So just, you know, we don't want to offend
alienate our listeners.
Yeah, because we've just got them to imagine that we're both Tom Hardy. So I don't want to do anything to spoil this rapport that we've built up this episode.
No, true. Yeah, we've worked hard on that, haven't we?
And that's it. Thank you so much for listening. Apologies there, as we were working with a slight delay. So there's the irony of talking about how every Zoom call goes, I guess. But do give us a follow on Twitter, at HandsUpPod. Keep an eye out for all of our posts and questions, and we just might feature you on the podcast. If you enjoyed it, pass it on to another teacher or educator or anyone else you feel may enjoy listening. And don't forget to subscribe, give us a quick rating if you can, or even better, leave us some feedback with your preferred podcast provider. That's all for this one. Class dismissed. Right, we need to think of a funny sign-off again, Mark. What are you thinking?
Oh, yeah. Okay, hang on. Something.
In fact, do you know what? Just forget it, because I'm pretty sure no one actually makes it this far into the podcast.
Fair enough.